DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
Hey, welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James.
I am Dan.
I am Sam.
It's like we practiced it. I'm so proud of you guys.
Yes!
And we are so excited. This is the first time this is happening, so keep your expectations low. We've already had technical difficulties.
Bottomed out.
But we have guests. We have three guests from our favorite YouTube channel, All Things Z. We have Aww. David, we have Austin, and we have Tracy. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Hello, thank you for having
hey.
Us.
Hi.
Okay, let's one at a time.
That's not how we roll.
It's not how we roll either, but we're going to try.
Yeah, we're going to try to sound quasi-professional.
Okay, so the story is...
They sounded great. They sounded better than us.
Oh,
that's not
Sam,
hard to do.
Right?
Hey, the bar has been set.
Very low.
So, okay, for those who haven't been listening and don't know the story, about a month ago, Danny and I were at Portland's Comic-Con here.
What?
And as I was wandering around, I came across a booth that had these amazing-looking puppets, and the one that caught my eye was the one that was... Well, it was a zombie. It was a zombie yeah. puppet. And I was floored. So I had to go up and find out what it was. And they told me. I met David there. And I think, Tracy, you were there?
Yeah, I was there.
Okay. So I got to chatting. They told me about their YouTube channel. And I was all in. I was like, these are my people right here. My people.
They understand me.
And so as we were talking, I mentioned that I do this podcast. And David... floored me when he said he'd heard of it. And not only heard of it, but was a fan.
And it was the right one.
Yeah.
Because there is
a couple.
You guys
went through it's not this one. Yeah, I know.
There are three other Not Another Podcasts. All of them started after we were. Mm-hmm. We are the original. And we are the worst.
By far.
I like you guys.
Again,
no accounting for taste,
really
but you know, you're good people, so we'll let it go.
So we got talking back and forth, and later on brought Danny over,
mm-hmm.
and one of their characters, Dante, interviewed mm-hmm. us, so we thought it would be only fair to bring you guys onto our platform and interview you. So the big question everyone wants to know is, why puppets?
Well, I can speak for myself that I don't have a voice or a face for radio, so I needed another medium.
Well played.
Well, I think this is David. I can start a little bit. I know we grew up with Henson and the work that was being done there. And everything from Sesame Street to being traumatized by the Dark Crystal and Labyrinth. So I think that grew up as part of who we were. And then I can say then for me, also part of it is that I think it was 2007. There was a Broadway musical that was called Avenue Q that came out. And it was sort of like Sesame Street for grown-ups, right?
These are my people.
The internet is for porn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the thing that I found, like, revisiting that show as an adult was, so our country has kind of come in a long way in terms of gay and lesbian rights. But in 2007, it was a very different conversation. And there's a character in the play, Puppet, that is gay. He's sort of the equivalent of Bert from Bert and Ernie. And I think that show had an impact on our society in that, you know, this thing that was silly and fun and kind of like a living cartoon could have these really serious thoughts and feelings, and people who maybe couldn't have that conversation in real life got to hear a perspective that they hadn't thought about, and it maybe started changing the way we thought about things. So I think puppetry is kind of fun and silly, but then at the same time, you can kind of talk about things sometimes that are maybe socially taboo because it's this kind of furry, cute package that you can play with, you know?
Just like podcasting.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, Tracy, Austin, I don't know if you guys...
Sure, yeah, I'll chime in. I'll preface this with, I'm sorry that I'm sick, so I sound a little husky today, so I do apologize. But kind of the same thing. I grew up loving Jim Henson, just being obsessed with Jim Henson and puppets, and it was always a dream of mine to do some kind of puppet work because it's, you know, hashtag living the dream. And kind of the same thing, I actually, my ex-husband was...
She's revealing a lot today.
Get it out there, man. Get it out there.
I got to see him in a production of Avenue Q, and that's actually how I met David. And I was like, holy cow, there's like a grown-up version of Sesame Street that exists? What is this? And I then became obsessed with that show, and it became my number one bucket list show that I really wanted to play Kate Monster. And, you know, David and my friendship percolated through the years, and then I actually got to be in a production of Avenue Q a couple years ago at Actors Cabaret of Eugene here. And I just rekindled all of my passion. Like, we need to make this happen. David, well, remember that thing I was telling you about, this like zombie puppet show I want to do? Want to do it? I was like, yes, I'm with you. My boyfriend is this. And you're going to come play too. And the rest is history. We are.
Nice.
I don't know if most people got that because she was very echoey.
Well, here's hoping for the best. But it's funny because, honestly, I think that was one of the things I thought about when I first started watching your guys' show was I was like, oh, it's like Avenue Q. Dude, I have that music on my iPod, and I listen to it regularly. It always makes me smile.
Yeah, I've built puppets for that show, and I've performed in it, and I've been a puppet director now on two productions, I think.
Nice.
Wow. So,
yeah, it's a cool show.
Color me impressed.
It doesn't take much to impress him, though, so.
No, yeah. Take the compliment before we remind you that, you know, just... who you're actually talking with.
So, one of the questions I have is, why center a puppet show around zombies? How did that seedling become All Things Z?
Well, so originally, I think as kind of most weird things happen in life happened, I had lost my job, and I was looking for new work, and my brother-in-law, who is an artist, was in town visiting, and he was like, well, you need to do a job as an artist. You have this background as an artist and as a creator, and you know, the kind of corporate life doesn't really suit you well. So what do you want to do as an art? What can you do? And I said, well, I'm a puppet builder. And a friend of mine, more of a business acquaintance, is a guy named Peter Hollins, who's a relatively well-known YouTube artist. He makes a living as a YouTube artist. I think he's actually signed by Sony now. Was just starting to kind of become big on YouTube. This was probably about 5 years ago. And so my brother said, well, can you do something with puppets on YouTube? Because, you know, people are making a living doing that now. And so we kind of started this idea of, well, what kind of puppetry would you do on YouTube, and what would you want to do? And my wife, who writes probably about 50% of the episodes for us, is a big zombie fan. And she was like, oh, you should do a really serious, dark zombie show. And so my brother-in-law and I started writing this play, or writing this show, and it was going to be this sort of dark, satirical thing. And again, it was sort of like dealing with this idea that you can have conversations with puppets that you can't have in in day-to-day life, and so it was going to be kind of satirical and dark and really talk about sort of our modern kind of take on capitalism and blah, blah, blah. And roughly 2 weeks into writing that show, we realized it wasn't funny or fun at all to do it and figured no one would ever want to watch it. And so we started working on this idea of, well, what would be fun? And that idea of just sort of these two kind of really inexperienced, really not, you know, kind of naive characters trying to prepare us for these things that ultimately have no real like impact on the day-to-day world, which you see a lot of on YouTube, became a really fun idea. And so I think it was just a matter of skills that we had. And then kind of as we went along, you know, having gotten connected with Tracy, and then we had another friend of ours named Jeremy who was also involved, it was just sort of the skill set that we had, and it was a medium to tell jokes and to do funny things and create this sort of throwback to our childhood.
Well, I'm going to compliment you. The writing is fantastic. There's so much joy that comes across watching what you guys put into it, comes across through the videos, and they never fail to make me laugh. I mean, it really is just like the biggest idiots trying to prepare for the apocalypse that's never going to come.
Yeah.
James, they're on the show, dude. No,
the creators are. We're not talking to the characters yet.
Not yet. But I think, I mean, for us, that's it. You know, I mean, I think it's, like, it's there's all these people on YouTube that just are so serious. And I love Star Wars. And so when we were starting to do this version of it, I was watching a lot of these guys who were speculating about it. This was, I think it was The Force Awakens was what was being made at that point. And, you know, you'd have these guys and they'd have a 4-minute video where there was this camera phone picture of something taken 10 miles away. And there's a 20-minute discussion about what this new thing could be. And, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And so, we just started playing with that idea. And, like I said, usually our longer, so our episodes are anywhere from about, I think our shortest one is maybe 2-3 minutes and the longest is maybe 10-15. And usually the stuff that's in that kind of 2-5 minute range is improv. So Tracy and Austin and I and our other friends that we work with will try to improv something and kind of go through a couple different takes. And then I'll take all that footage back and edit it down into a single thing. And then our bigger, kind of more elaborate stuff is my wife writes a lot of it for us. Austin has written a couple of them as well. So, you know, it's fun because we try to keep somewhat timely in terms of our posting too. So, usually, you know, we just filmed two things yesterday. One of them went up this morning, and then the other one will go up on Friday. So we tend to try to run through stuff pretty quickly as well.
David prays to the YouTube algorithm gods very frequently.
Don't we all?
He won't admit it, but he's got a small shrine in his garage.
We gotta get a shrine and start praying
no,
to
first
the iTunes gods.
We need a YouTube channel, and then we get the shrine.
And then we get the money.
And then we get Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, we're still working on the same area. We all have to live in the same area, then get a shrine,
Eddie Van Halen.
Then make the killer video.
Do is just take your recording and then stick it up on YouTube and put a picture of put your face on there and you're good.
Samantha's face there.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my friends does that, and for Radio Hour we put our Radio Hour episodes up there as well on YouTube, audio only with like our logo. So yeah, that's very true.
And we'll use Samantha's face because
totally use Samantha's
face. Obvious reasons.
The one from the last episode from the bookmark this
week. Ooh, yeah, yeah. That selfie?
Yeah.
That was on point.
Oh, yeah.
That was on point.
I thought of that. I was like, why did I do that? I have a question for you guys. So my turn. James, be quiet.
yeah, James.
So take me through. I'm super curious. I've always loved puppets. I want one made of myself, but I won't ask you for that, but I will.
subtle.
We do it all the time.
Real subtle, Samantha.
So take me through your process of how you came up with your puppet characters, how you design them, and Austin, you said you build them, right? So what's the whole process from concept to building your puppet?
I've talked a lot, Tracy or Austin. You wanna take it?
I mean, I've never really built the puppets, so that's the expertise.
I apologize.
Really.
I had the voices mixed up. Then no, I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, Austin has just actually started learning to build with us. So Tracy and I have built now together for a year or two, and Austin is just starting to work on that process. We did this really big dragon a couple months ago, and Austin worked on that. So he's just getting his builder legs under him.
Is that the one you guys brought to Comic-Con?
The white dragon?
The white dragon, is that the one you guys?
Yeah.
Oh, that was an amazing puppet.
That was solid.
Thank you. We appreciate that. That was probably about 100 hours all told by the time we were done doing it.
Wow.
I was begging my wife for one all day.
Worth every second.
She finally got sick of it and punched me.
As per his custom. And that's you know you had it coming.
Yeah, but not for that.
I guess.
Tracy, do you want to talk about the build process? I'm okay too. I don't want to hog the time.
I'm just worried. Does it sound echoey when you're hearing?
Yeah, it sounds like you're trying to hypnotize us through the audio.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Alrighty. I think it kind of varies depending upon what we're doing. Like, you know, early on, before we'd actually started filming the show, I had Dante and Snark built for about a year or two before we ever filmed anything. And then there's a character we have called Cleo, and her head had been built. She didn't have a body in it, and they just sat around. But I built those puppets for the idea of the show, and kind of what I was hoping to do, you know, is in that case the characters sort of informed the performance, whereas I had this idea that I wanted a puppet that sort of was sort of awkward looking and kind of small and goofy looking compared to this really big kind of fierce looking monster. And so that was kind of the case. But then the other piece of it is, wow.
Interesting.
Make our dive deck 500 feet.
We've got plans. But then, you know, as characters have come on later, there's a character that's his name is Anonymous, the internet troll. And
stop, you've struck oil.
And well, Anonymous came from there was someone out there in the internet land that we offended. I don't know what it was we did, but we really upset him.
Wait, someone on the internet was offended by something?
No,
shocking.
It's crazy, right?
Bullshit.
I'm shocked.
I was shocked.
I don't believe it.
But
Fake news.
But he would constantly like dislike and make very disparaging comments, and so we wanted to bring a troll onto the show so we could, you know, make fun of this guy and or woman, I don't know, this person. And it, so
I actually know who it is. It was Elmo.
Oh my god, you don't appreciate you talking shit.
Well, he got really mad because then we started taking actual things he was saying and putting him into the troll's voice.
Beautiful.
Like, my last contact with him was he sent me this email where he just, like, it was probably a page of text where he was just ranting almost incoherently about what a piece of ass I was. And
you can say shit.
You have free roam over the English vocabulary on this show.
He was calling me a piece of shit, and then, like, at certain points, the line got kind of blurred between, I think he actually thought Dante was a real person. It was really funny, but...
Wow.
But in that case, kind of, like, as I was building that troll, the design process was, okay, how can I make this thing just really ridiculous looking and sort of, like, this amalgam of, like, all these different kind of nerd cultures kind of pushed together into this one thing. And so our troll has a chainmetal helmet that's got an action figure head glued to it to the front as his insignia. He's got a cape on and he wears a fur loin or a sock as a loincloth, and just really awkward and weird looking. And so nice. In that case, it was, you know, what can I make the most weird looking thing possible to represent this person who is really mad at me? Because I'm mature.
Yes, we're all adults here.
Clearly. That's right. I mean, you spend your time working with puppets. You are the most mature person we've ever had on this show.
By exactly. Miles.
Well, that's actually interesting because one of my questions is, how did you come up with each character and give them their personality? I mean, what was the process for each character? Did you already have something in mind, or has it just blossomed as that?
Did you get drunk one night and go, wow, that's funny as shit?
Or was it a bad meth
every
trip?
Every night before filming.
Right, yeah.
Good man.
I mean, yeah. Drink.
Well, you know, it's actually interesting. So we had, the first, I think, 6 months of the show, Snark was done by a different puppeteer. Austin did a character called Phil and came in and worked with us. And then sometimes we have a second hand for Snark, and Austin did a lot of the second hand for Snark. And the original guy who did Snark moved out of state, and so then Austin took over the role.
I was literally Snark's right hand man.
Nice. Important hand to be, right? Buddy. Important.
That's right. The important hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so Snark has
so many masturbation jokes.
So many.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. All the time. We have like 3 or 4 episodes that are solely about masturbation.
That's two.
Right?
We have more than 3 or 4, Samantha.
I'm pretty sure we have like an entire month's worth of episodes. Just. Yeah.
But yeah, I think Austin, it's great because Austin sort of has evolved that character into something different. And it's still, you know, Snark is still essentially the same person, but Austin has brought kind of his own voice and his own like sense to it, I think. So they evolve over time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would actually say that he's the same character. I mean, you know, he's got some of the same characteristics. He's a monster still, and we try and make him gruff and abrasive, but, you know, if you really dive into it, and David and I have talked about this just because we like to keep track of where these personalities are and where we want them to go. I mean, Snark is definitely a lot more different now than he was when Jeremy was playing him, because Jeremy played him definitely much more of like a gruff old man, you know, very curmudgeonly and like he was out of touch with the world. And, you know, I really noticed that in the way that I've played him, you know, especially more these more recent episodes now that I've got my feet under it, is he's, you know, he definitely seems like he's a lot younger and he articulates his situations differently. So, you know, I mean, it just has to change because the operator has changed now, and it's not the same. You can't put the genie back in the bottle.
It's completely different everywhere.
What I find interesting is that the monster character seems to be the voice of reason most times.
Yeah. Dante tends to kind of go off the rails a little bit. Which is, again,
he's
wonderful.
Just excitable.
Yeah. Well, I think these are kind of maybe more extreme versions of ourselves. So I think, you know, like Austin was just saying, you know, Snark became more of, I think, who Austin is, whereas old Snark was more of where, and if Jeremy hears this, I don't know how he'll feel, but older Snark was more of who Jeremy was. And I think Dante is really maybe a really extreme version of me. Like, he says those things, I think.
I'm like a burlesque dancer deep down. Is that what you're telling me?
We don't know what you do behind closed doors.
You are an amazingly insightful human being.
You are smart. You are funny.
Backpedal, backpedal, backpedal.
Can't fill this hole
fast enough.
So you're the... Do you guys have other performers that come on other than the three of you? Or are you the main puppeteers? And
it's typically the three of us because it's kind of easiest to coordinate with just the three of us, because typically Austin and I come as a set since we're coming from the same place. But we do occasionally get to have other friends come and play with us, which is kind of fun. Like filling in for Phil or whichever characters are kind of sitting around, or we even have humans come and interact with the puppets sometimes, which is kind of fun. So,
and boxes.
I enjoy that part, getting to kind of share the joy with other people who you can tell deep down are kind of Hensonophiles like myself, and they get a little excited when they see this like giant rack of puppets that David has up in his garage.
God, you just want to shove your fist right up in something.
Exactly.
I'm playing with those furry packages.
Yes, furry packages.
I mean, the more
and
furry.
There is the title of the episode. Tracy yes. has won the internet today. Furry packages.
Do I get a t-shirt for that?
I
as soon
so.
As we get t-shirts.
Alas, all you get is the lasting shame.
Well,
or pride.
Congratulations.
Zero shame.
I regret
nothing. Tracy, I do have a question. You know, being the three of you are the main, you know, ones that coordinate. You're the only female in your crew. I'm the only female in my crew. Do you feel that you are more disgusting than they are, or are they the ones that corrupted you? Because I'm definitely more disgusting than these guys.
Oh, hell yes.
The thing is, yeah. is I feel like it's more under the radar. Like, I will toss them out there, and it takes a second for them to realize what happened, but then sometimes I'll be the one in the corner like... Like, I did laugh. I don't know if you heard it, but I did laugh when David earlier said... Well, we get to talk about these things that are wrapped in furry packages that we get to play with. And like, I thought, playing with furry packages, huh? So I feel like it's kind of more surprising when it comes from my end because, and I'm sure I can't think of any specific examples, but I'm sure I've probably come up with some things that were pretty disgusting that we said on the show. So
oh, we can give you full episodes where Samantha led the way in disgusting.
Thanks for kindred spirits, my friend. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think the nice thing about Sam being as gross as she is we just kind of feed off of that nastiness and we just try to drive.
Well, there's
the
no
bar
subtlety
up.
With Samantha. She just lays it all out there and
whips it out and lays it on.
I feel like that's the most honest way to be, though. I mean, if you're going to be that way, just be that way. Don't try to, like, pretend.
Right?
Yeah. And I think that's why it's elevated Samantha to the level she is on the show.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny with not another podcast here. I am more myself than in any of the other projects I do because we're trying to make money. We're trying to grow a company. So I've got to be a little bit more buttoned up. But here, I'm just like... Mm. And they don't judge me. They laugh along. I laugh with them. So it's just, you know, I feel more authentic here than in some of my other projects.
That's because we've learned
to fear
Menstrua.
I get to have the, like, mask of the puppet where it's not me being gross. It's the puppet being
right.
gross. So we can still grow the brand and it's not, you know, me necessarily. It's Cleo or it's the box. Or
that's
it's,
what I need
you know,
is a puppet to take the blame for me.
Did you not
say
yo?
No, I missed the episode with the talking box.
Oh,
I'm gonna have to go watch the talking
yes,
box.
Yes, your name is Kitty Box, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Kitty
oh
Box.
My gosh.
Yes, it is priceless.
So many jokes. Brain aneurysm. Can't handle.
Well, you have broken the jinx.
Tried.
I'm kind of upset Samantha didn't come up with that. It seems like something that she would have come up with.
Oh, man. Well, you can't win them all, man.
Right, and besides, we just never everywhere. Found that rabbit hole.
Not yet.
Not yet. But as soon as we do, we're gonna plug
not
that.
Not as
fucker.
Deep as a rabbit hole. Shush.
There's our Sam.
There she is.
There it is.
Oh, there we go. Well, since we're on the topic, has there ever been an episode that you've had to redo because you looked at it and went, okay, we kind of crossed a few lines. We need to back it up.
David.
Just throw him
right under the bus.
Yeah.
No salvation.
I think the closest we've had to do was there was a bit we did where so we have these things that are called tips of the week, and it's like Dante giving you bad advice
love
on
tips
how to
of the
survive.
Week.
Yeah. And there was one where I was talking about the apocalypse being a marathon, and so he comes in and he's wearing like a headband and arm wristbands, and he says that Snark told him he looked like an 80s douchebag, and
nice.
and then in the post credits, so we do the little song, and at the end there was about a 30 second clip of Dante dancing to Wham and lip syncing, and we got a cease and desist from the publishing company of Wham.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, so I had to take it down and then put the video up without the Wham reference. But then I also put we then sprinkled in throughout the other episodes about 80s douchebags telling us we can't do stuff with our show. So,
wow.
So no, I think there are some times where like we'll go somewhere, because like mostly on the improv stuff, we'll get like an outline together and then we'll jump up and start filming. And I think there are times where we'll take stuff to like just to the edge of where we go, okay, that's it's more funny if we just leave it sort of
ambiguous.
Yeah, like the box episode, the last bit of the joke, the last bit of the episode is Snark is sitting there and he starts laughing and Dante says, you know what? And Snark goes, her name was Kitty, and Dante's like, so what's the big deal with that? And he goes, you know, Kitty. And then they start laughing, and then I don't remember whether it's Austin or me, you know, goes, pussy. Like,
oh, right? Austin did.
Austin did. And so, like, you know, you get the put out, and then we cut to black. And so, so I don't know if it was, you know, we were like, okay, that's too far. But it's like, well, I think it may be funnier if we just get to the doorstep of too far and then close it off.
I like it.
I do remember, I don't remember the specific instances, but I do remember there was at least once or twice where you guys would be like, you know, shooting off some like improv stuff before we start filming, and you would say something and I'm like, yeah, maybe not that, please. Like, I feel like there have been I can't think of any specifics, but I do remember there have been at least a couple where there's been at least one person that's been like, let's just not do that.
Yeah, I really wish we had that sort of restraint on this show.
None at all. Zero.
We have talked about things on this show that, looking back, I kind of cringe. I mean, it was funny at the time, and I don't regret it, but it's like...
We're all a bunch of Mr.
I mean, we
Hides
talked about doing
loose
stand-up comedy for burn victims because they were a captive audience.
Oh.
I mean...
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's not untrue.
Right? Thank you.
See?
I mean, we've talked about doing things to raw meat.
Friction
method.
We've
talked about doing things to raw meat. I just sit here and facepalm.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Samantha said things on this show that put all of us to shame.
Mm-hmm. I will
be honest.
The thing
way
is,
too much period talk.
We made a character out of it.
We made a warlord out of it.
But I think that's the difference between doing like YouTube, where, you know, you're kind of doing a somewhat family-friendly show where we just don't give a fuck.
Yeah, we could give...
I mean, there are warnings on every show that, like, this is not for little people. This is for...
NSFW for loudspeakers at work. You know, probably not advisable in, you know, a cubicle with your loudspeakers on.
And it still shocks me that we say the stuff we say and we have listeners.
Right. We're talking to them right now.
All of them in one. But do you guys, I mean, is that something you guys think about? I mean, when you put together, when you're writing and you put together, I mean, yeah, you have that line and it's funnier to leave it ambiguous. Again, I wish we could do that, but we just can't. But you also have the visual aspect to help you along with that.
I definitely make it a point when we're at cons and we're like handing out cards, because like kids love the puppets. Like, they lose their minds for the puppets when they see them. They get really excited about them. And like the parents are like, ooh, a YouTube show. And I'm like, you watch a couple episodes on your own first and then show it to the kids just to make sure it's, you know, PG 13-ish, you know.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, language and whatnot. But, you know, it's I always kind of try to put that caveat on there because I don't want some angry mom being like, boycott all things yay. My kid heard the S word.
Have there been any episodes that you've actually warned people away from? Like, don't let your kids watch this specific episode?
Aggressive priapism.
Yes. So there's an episode. So there was a we'll do small storylines. So like, you know, we have our main the main gig of the show is trying to get people ready for the apocalypse. But then we do a lot of other goofy stuff. And so there was a storyline where Snark shot a cat with a crossbow, and
accidentally.
Accidentally.
Of course.
He was trying to get ready for the zombie apocalypse by being Daryl Dixon from The Walking Dead, and he shot this crossbow out a window, and it hit a cat. And like so then there was this big vet bill. And so Dante and Snark had to pay for it. And so in one of the episodes, which actually is a bit of a... the cat was fine, but he had massive vet bills. And it actually is a little bit of a commentary maybe on our health system, but Snark starts doing drug testing to get extra money so he can pay this bill. And there's one of the side effects is aggressive priapism, which is the scientific term for really big boners. And so that won't go away. So Snark passes out, and then this very big, scary-looking phallic item starts hitting Dante in the face.
So you should go back and check that one out.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think that one's called Vetville. And then there's another one. There was another storyline where Snark and Dante are playing. There's a game called Mary Bang Kill. And through a turn of events, Dante says he wants to bang Betty White from The Golden Girls.
Who doesn't?
Oh, Jim is going to be so sad he missed this.
Right.
Well,
it is,
well, she's amazing, right? If I had to choose an octogenarian to try to impress and woo, she would be the one. But then in the follow-up episode, the storyline is that they got a cease and desist order from Betty White's attorneys. And they mistaken this for thinking they hurt her feelings for saying that he didn't want to have sex with her. So then Dante and Snark list all the sexual acts they would be willing to perform on Betty White.
Nice.
So that one gets a hard don't. Unless you want your kids to know what a rusty trombone is, don't.
Oh,
don't.
My God.
I think there's also, there's a line to be tread there as well, because, YouTube is also kind of, maybe not outrightly, but it's definitely looking at what type of content it wants to promote as kind of its own self-image. And so the stuff that's more offensive, or, they've got their own system to, mark these videos as mature. And it's been shown that these mature videos don't get nearly as many views as the others. So we kind of want to try and walk this line of, we want to talk about content that's for adults because that's who we want to talk to. But we don't necessarily want to push away people as they get younger because of that kind of perception that exists about the show because of the puppets. Mm-hmm. So... There's a game to be played there where we
switch kind of thing.
Yeah, we want to be able to talk about what we want to talk about, serious subjects, but we also don't want to push away a younger audience because
to show how much Danny's paying attention.
I feel like things like the Muppets on SNL back in the 70s when they did that, and Avenue Q, where it was definitely it's not meant for kids, I think has kind of opened the door because all those kids that grew up watching Sesame Street, they're all grown-ups now, and Sesame Street 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is great, but also the internet is for porn is great, so it's kind of like we like seeing those things, but you just have to be kind of careful because it is still, puppets are still marketed for children, but us kids that grew up loving puppets now get to see them doing things that we think are hilarious because we're gross adults.
Well, and that's the important part, though. You've provided an evolution to something that we grew up with and turned it into something poignant for adults that, are of the like minds or at least of the relative age. So it's important that, medians evolve eventually, or otherwise they become stagnant and stale and then nobody gives a shit. And
fade into history.
Yeah, and at this rate, I think doing what you guys do keeps it relevant. Keeps it as a medium that people will still pursue, knowing full well that it can be explored in other endeavors. You can talk about things that are much more poignant, as well as still, pull out a dick joke once in a while because that shit's hilarious.
Yep. Totally.
I think that's awesome.
Austin got a little too giddy at that.
Well, I had to pull up the video so I could see the phallic item. And I had to show James because, yes, that shit had me
Yeah, we weren't ignoring you. We were watching the video.
I even liked it.
It's good. Important stuff.
It was pretty damn clever, I gotta
Thank
say.
Thank you.
It was beautiful. Just beautiful.
Well, we are...
Little baby snark at the end.
We've got about 20 minutes left, and I promised these guys that we would actually talk to the characters. So can we cool. talk to Dante, Snark, and... I forget. Was it Penny? That's so wrong.
I mean, it depends on whether you want like the bitchy one or the nice one.
Ooh, go Penny, bitchy.
Oh, go, we definitely want nice bitchy. One.
We need bitchy.
Definitely bitchy.
It's a requirement okay. on the show.
Hey, thanks for having us on today. We really appreciate you guys, you know, taking the time out to help us spread our important word about the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you think this show is, I don't know, worth your time, your air time.
Shut up, Snark.
Snark, why is Dante having me here? I've got my own YouTube show to run.
Well, we're both aware of that, but he still has some residual feelings about you. And
yeah, no.
He's basically no. just convinced me to try what? And trail you around.
No, look, Snark.
Okay,
no.
You know what? You
okay,
know what?
I feel like we can
this
all just walk away.
This is why you guys have a problem with your viewership because you guys are gross.
Yes.
Penny, would you like to maybe shut up so the nice people talking to us could ask some questions?
Excuse me? Okay, you know what? I'm out. You guys are such jerks. I'm not even gonna hang out here anymore.
Okay,
see,
thank you.
This is what I do this for. It's my own personal troop of flying monkeys.
Love it.
I feel like the three of us can just go and let them run the rest of
and
the
And that's
show.
Okay, because honestly, good stuff here.
This is so much better than what we do on
right?
a weekly basis.
Okay, not even joking at this
not
point.
At all.
Self-deprecation, check.
There you go. That's...
Jokes, check.
Okay, since we have them on.
Did we cover hot sauce already?
No, we gotta do that.
No, okay. Cover us.
I just spent the day at work watching the show Hot Ones.
What?
Speaking of hot
so productive. Okay, since we got him on, let's ask him. Dante, Snark, a lot of people don't know, but you guys are actually brothers, right?
That's correct. We yes. are. Snark is my adopted brother.
Uh-huh.
Does he know?
Yes. I made it very clear early on that that was my house and he was a guest.
Yeah. He had a big aluminum bat that said adopted on it. And he'd threat me with it.
Look, you gotta let him know that.
You gotta establish dominance early.
Right, exactly. He's bigger than me. He could rip me in half.
In more ways than one.
Well, that just sounds sexy.
I'm actually not sure what type of stuff I have. I just reference it as a flap.
That's right.
It hangs out down there. I'm not really sure what it does.
We grew up in a very progressive household, so, you know, there's a lot of stigmas about monsters in today's society, but my parents saw Snark lying on the side of the road as an infant and decided that they were going to break those stereotypes and let him into our home. And, you know, I think part of what we like to do with All Things Z is not only teach you how to survive the zombie apocalypse, but also to let people know that there are a lot of really great monsters in our society and that they do amazing things.
Yeah, like me. I'm the best monster you're going to find. Duh.
Shut up,
here
Penny.
We go.
So, Shyless. Penny. I have a question for
Hi.
Penny. Hi. Yeah. Are you and Miss Piggy like best frenemies?
Oh my God. I love her so much. She's like my best friend. I'm just kidding. She's like the worst.
Like
I
so. He's so high maintenance. Ugh.
All you can think about is bacon.
I'm having the best day ever.
You know, we try.
Miss Piggy was a member of the Mary Bang Kill episode, and I chose Kill because the exact reason you mentioned, bacon.
Yeah.
You know what? You are so human-centric, it is so ridiculous.
Yeah, it is really kind
what?
Of disturbing, Dante.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You know so about like, the several
it's
lines.
It's like a Monsters Only channel. Like, I'm into yeah. it, but, you know, whatever.
However, it does bring up some other possibilities.
Such as?
Does it taste like bacon?
Oh, God, no.
damn it. That might have been a hindering factor, you know. I'm just
saying. There is so much salmonella running through her.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Ew! Oh, that's upsetting. She needs a drip pan?
Yes, she must check,
check drip pan.
For bacon fat.
Oh, man.
Don't cook with it either.
I think we've drifted off of the topic of bacon.
All topics are about bacon. Wow.
So here, we could probably ask the questions, right? You know, if we take over the show... That's what they wanted from you, right?
Please. Do it. Fire on.
Do you guys have bug out bags? Or do you guys have an emergency preparedness plan?
I do, but it is not in a bag.
Oh, okay.
What can I say?
Bug out box.
Do you have a bunker?
No, unfortunately, no bunkers have been dug at my apartment. something tells me the apartment managers would frown upon it. I haven't
they
quite
sure checked. Do.
and besides, a bunker might not be my best option living in a large city. Just saying.
Yeah, they threatened to evict you if you dig bunkers in other people's property. I found that out recently.
You know, I kind of figured as much.
Personal experience with that, Dante, keeping your neighbors up until like 2 in the morning with a jackhammer in the alley.
Oh, did you hit bedrock? Damn it, it's a bitch.
I just want to know where he went to rent a jackhammer.
Oh well, the Jackhammer Town and Harbor Freight, got them all over Eugene. I had the impression
he just picked one up.
Just was walking down the street,
right across from the leaf blower store.
That's right.
Naturally.
The rental stores are really specific
Dance,
and specialized in Eugene.
Dance and Dan's Jackhammers and Tans. All your needs in one location.
That's right. I even got a little pith helmet with a light on it. That was really helpful.
It looked so cute.
Oh, like a little miner. My goodness.
That's right.
Did you travel to Egypt with Melania then?
What's that?
Did you travel to Egypt with Melania then? She had her pith helmet ready too.
You know what? Actually, is that what she calls it? We're not on speaking terms.
Oh, okay.
Samantha, do you have a bug out bag?
Not so much a bag. I do have weapons. I'm paramilitary, so I am proficient with weaponry.
Knows her way around weapons, if you know what I mean.
You are doing something to Snark's flap, I'm telling you.
Hey, look, man, just because it's ambiguous doesn't mean you can't enjoy it.
Watch out, Dante. Something might be poking you in the face soon enough.
Oh, man.
I do prefer my weapons loaded. So.
Don't worry, baby. I've got plenty of baggage.
Now it's like Snark.
And it gets awkward.
Snark, look, you don't even know what you're saying, buddy. Just,
I blacked out about 3 minutes ago.
That usually happens when Samantha talks.
Yeah.
We all just fall under her trance.
Yep. That's why I do this bit laying down.
It gets all red, and you start seeing spots, and then just nothing. It's like you're in an elevator, but
we do see red.
Lots of red.
Oh, okay, so it's not just me.
Color choice of the day brought to you by Snark.
And Menstrata.
They should do like an advertisement together or something.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be good.
I think that would be wonderful.
You know.
They could advertise each other.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Snark is really, you know, he's excellent at self-advertisement.
Let the red river flow where the red fur grows.
Beautiful.
Do we just need to get him on as a writer now?
Let's bring him on.
Probably
you're
hired.
Better,
they need all the help they can get.
So do we.
No one told me this was going to be an audition.
Right? No shit.
I'm prepared. Every day is an audition, sir.
Every moment of our lives is an audition.
Pretty so, much agree with crap. That, Dante.
Yeah, in fact, how did the play go? Did it go well?
Oh my gosh, you know about the play.
You listen to the podcast.
Oh, it went wonderfully. I just No regrets. It was fantastic. I was actually freaking out like an hour and a half beforehand. So I do another show called It's All Been Done Radio Hour, and it was the same day. So I went on for Radio Hour, which was hours ahead of the nude play. I was freaking out, thought I was going to cry and, you know, shake it. And then that went away. And then as soon as I was on stage, it was like, bam, let's do this. And it was great. Wonderful. Thank you for asking.
No problem. I've been following along on the week's episodes, so that's great.
We should send Snark the picture Samantha sent you.
The Instagram bookmark.
I didn't. It was on my Instagram. I did not send it.
No. I sought it out and I bookmarked the shit out of it.
I don't know what's going on, but my ears are perking up. Starting to vibrate.
I'm sure that's not all, no, buddy.
You saw the picture. You'd bookmark it too.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
I feel like we're making a love connection here.
Right.
Look, I'm just gonna tell you right now, living with him is no dream. I'm just gonna lay that out there. Just so you get the heads up.
Easy doing, everywhere.
Wow. It's true.
You're yes, and I house at least one puppet eating plant in my room.
Yeah, he's got a puppet eating plant in his room that I want nothing to do with. Nice. So you gotta watch out for that too. I don't know what it does to ladies.
I think
so. Tell me, you have the Roomba that just kind of goes around your place, you know, and just collects it, and then when it's
Roomba.
Done, you gotta glue it all together and make it look like a Trimble on his bed.
Well, see, I think this might work out because Samantha loves dogs, so she's used to furry things shedding all over her.
True. And Snark is sort of like a dog, so...
Wait a minute.
Like, a most loving way possible, brother. That's the most possible.
Yeah. Most loving way.
Snark, you would have to help me walk my dogs, too. That's very important to me.
Well, unfortunately, at the moment, only one of my hands works, so... And if I'm going to be doing anything, it makes it a little challenging.
Actually, I would...
Priorities.
I would worry a little bit about Snark because I know Samantha, one of Samantha's dogs, has a tendency to tear anything furry apart in minutes.
Oh God.
And not in the good way.
Hey Penny, have you considered moving to hang out with Samantha more?
Have you considered moving to It's None of Your Business?
That would be an episode of Bad Girls I would tape.
Tape, wow.
Yeah.
Breaking out the VHS player for that one.
Bad Girls on the Town.
Good old C-Bus.
You're going to catch that on the late night fuzzy channels.
You can come on.
Furry channels.
Damn it. I had it.
I am.
It was there.
Couple of badass ladies just being badasses.
Oh, my God.
You created this monster, Dante.
I invited her on so she could see how important we were, Snark, and this is backfiring. I
mean, no kidding.
Now I'm more important as usual.
Yeah, guys, sorry, ladies. On this show, the ladies always rule the roost. That's just the rule.
I think that works in some life scenarios.
Unless
as well.
Jim's here, and then.
In which case, you know.
Get him.
Well, Jim is an honorary woman.
Oh, well, there you go.
Fair enough.
Honorary. I love it. I really hope Jim
listens.
She's
so pleased with herself here.
No, I was just thinking, like, monthly, I'll just give him a pad with, like, red paint on it and be like... Oh,
just for you, buddy.
Join us.
This one's got wings.
Sadly, I'm in. I'm trying to escape my corporate job. I will come be with you.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Yes.
Samantha made it weird.
It's pretty hot. I don't know what she's talking about.
Talking hot to a puppet weird. So fast.
Hot and sexy. That's how we do.
As Jim would say, my erection is punching itself.
Yeah, there's a medication you can take that could...
All right. Even look at the side effects. I'll just do it.
Yeah, don't worry. I tried them out.
As long as aggressive priapism isn't one of them.
Well, I mean, it depends on what type of evening you're trying to have.
Yeah, it was aggressive. I had a black eye for like 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, and explain that to your coworkers.
Yeah, it was not good.
I got mugged.
Snark flap punched me in the eye. That's what I
got mugged by an erect flap.
Yeah.
That's right.
He was very excited about it.
And it was super aggressive.
Super aggressive. I love it.
Those flaps, man.
Taking our job. Wait.
Wait, where are you?
Wait, no, that's...
Those flaps are taking our job.
This went someplace I wasn't sure it was going to go.
This
it always goes this way.
Yeah, every time we get together, it always...
deforms into debauchery.
Well, we're coming up on the end of the show. You guys, I can't even begin to thank you enough for coming on with us and sharing everything with us. While we have a couple minutes left, are there any tips you want to give our audience for the coming apocalypse?
Aside from watching the show, which they should do anyway.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the thing, right? If you subscribe, you'll get great advice every day of the week. But I think my most recent tip is probably the most poignant these days, which is don't eat spicy foods during the zombie apocalypse.
Because... Oh, God, oh, I'm glad that was on the list. And yeah. You covered it. God, you are... I wonder sometimes.
Because here's the thing, guys. If you were to, you know, get really bad diarrhea while being chased by zombies, it would become like a slip and slide of doom.
Oh, my God.
This is a good thing to wear a kilt.
You're like a poo-covered enchilada for zombies.
Exactly.
I swear to God, these boys.
A poo-chilada.
Yeah, yeah. A poo-chilada.
How these guys are good at this.
Runny refries, you know?
Runny refries.
James, that is the new name of the show.
Runny
refries. Poochalada.
I don't know. We've got a couple, but I'm still liking furry packages.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't we all? Don't we
all? I was going to say, we all kind of like furry packages. I got to be honest with you.
Right?
Only if they're lovable.
Yep, they have teeth, don't bite. Man, that's no good.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Yeah, Samantha and I watched a documentary on that. That was
super informative.
Very guys, informative, yeah.
Humans are way different than puppets. I don't know if you know that or not. if teeth are an option, I don't know.
Okay, wow. That's how we're ending it. Okay.
Teeth.
So this has been fantastic. We're definitely going to have you guys back on again at some point. This was way too much fun to just do in 1 hour.
Oh, boy.
Well, thank you guys so much for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, guys, thanks. David, Austin, Tracy, Penny, Snark, Dante, thank you so much. If you are not already doing so, go to YouTube. Check out All Things Z. You will not regret it. I swear to God. Guys, once again, thank you so much. And to our listeners, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.